What a joy it is for me to be a part of this international faculty taking this wonderful curriculum around the world.
Abdi ngaras binga ngiring janten bagian ti Fakultas Internasional Kurikulum Nanu luar biasa saalam dunia.
My name is Dr. Stan DeKoven. I'm the president of Vision International University.
Abdi Dr. Stan DeKoven, Ketua Visi International University.
What we're going to be talking about here today is how to develop a ministry training center within your local church or your local community.
Kumaha ngembangkan pusat pelatihan pelayanan di gereja lokal atau napi komunitas lokal.
We're first going to lay the foundation for the very specific need and mandate from the Lord to develop these programs.
Nabi Tuhan, orang baris nyimpen dasar kanggo kaperyogian anu spesifik sareng mandat ti Gusti kanggo ngembangkan program ieu.
And so for you church leaders, I hope that you'll pay very close attention because God may lay on your heart to develop just such an institute.
Kanggo para pamimpin gereja, abdi miharep masihan perhatosan sapinuhna kumaki Gusti masihan dina manah kanggo ngembangkan hiji konstitusi.
In the Word of God, we see how Jesus' focus of ministry was on teaching.
Dina dawuhan Gusti, urang ningal kumaha fokus pelayanan Yesus ngenaan pengajaran.
In John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we will read the following.
Dina Yohanes pasal 3, ayat 1 sareng 2, urang aos.
Again, John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
Kali di Yohanes pasal 3, ayat 2.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Aya hiji urang Parisi ngaran Nikodemus, pamimpin agama Yahudi.
And this man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
Dina hiji peting anjeunna nepangan Yesus saurna, Guru, abi terang anjeun teh guru utusan Allah margi anu sanes mah moal aya anu tiasa nyieun mujizat-mujizat kitu kajaba umpami di sarengan ku Allah.
Nicodemus was stating a very important fact about Jesus's ministry.
Nicodemus nyatakan kenyataan anu penting ngeunaan pelayanan Yesus.
Now there's no question that Jesus came to be our savior.
Nah moal ragu deui Yesus umping janten juru salamet urang.
He accomplished that salvation on the cross and through his resurrection.
Anjeunna ngaringsikeun kasalametan di luhur salib sareng ngalangkungan gugahna.
But his primary focus of ministry,
nanging fokus utamana dina pelayanan,
was to raise up leadership for the next generation.
Nyaeta ngagugahkeun kapamimpinan kangge generasi salajengna.
So Jesus poured his life into his disciples.
Jantan Yesus ngucurkeun kahirupanana ka murid-muridna.
Demonstrating for us a model of ministry that is still vital for our present day.
Penunjukkeun ka urang model pelayanan masih vital kangge jaman ayeuna.
Jesus wanted to see his disciples become everything that he intended for them to be.
Yesus hoyong ningali para murid janten sapertos nu dimaksudna kangge aranjeunna.
Nicodemus' proclamation here in this passage simply stated an obvious fact.
Masih Nicodemus dina bagian pelayanan urang kedah diajar janten guru-guru nu efektif.
Jesus was a teacher.
Yesus teh guru.
And the fact is,
buktina nyaeta,
in our present day, if we're going to be effective in ministry, we must learn also to be effective teachers.
Jaman urang ayeuna umpami urang hoyong efektif dina pelayanan urang kedah diajar janten guru-guru anu efektif oge.
The only question is, will we teach effectively and systematically or haphazardly?
Atarasanana mung naha urang bade ngawulang secara efektif sareng sistematis atanapi lalabora.
In the Old Testament, teaching was done primarily with the school of the prophets.
Dina perjanjian lami, pengajaran dilakukan terutama di sekolah para nabi.
Younger prophets followed a senior prophet who would teach them how to minister effectively in the Old Testament time.
Nabi-nabi nu langkung anom nuturkeun nabi-nabi senior anu beres ngawulang aranjeunna kumaha ngalayanan secara efektif di zaman perjanjian lami.
Scribes, those men who used to copy the scriptures from one page to another, learned their craft from other scribes.
Pangirat naskah jalmi anu biasa nyalin kitab suci di hiji kaca salajengna diajar tina seni nyerat tunu sanesna.
And even in the ministry of the priesthood, we see the same thing. One priest taught another how to effectively minister in their calling and gifting.
Kita masih jantar rencana kangge zaman ayeuna sapertos anu bade ku urang saksikeun samentara urang ningal rencana Yesus kangge murid-muridna secara langkung lebet.
And that is really still the plan for today, as we're going to see as we look deeply into Jesus' plan for his disciples.
Dina pelayanan kaimaman urang ningal hal nu sami hiji nabi ngawulang nusanes kumaha ngalayanan secara efektif dina panyaur sareng karunia maranena.
Now, Jesus taught his disciples specifically many things of great importance.
Yesus ngawulang seueur perkawis penting ka murid-muridna secara spesifik.
He summarized their purpose, their plan, the goals for their life in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Anjeunna ngarangkum tujuan, rencana sareng sasaran kangge hirup maranehna dina Injil Matius pasal 28.
In Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse.
Dina Matius pasal 28, ngawitan ayat 16.
The word of God reads, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated."
Kesitu murid-murid anu 11 arindit ka Galilea ka hiji gunung anu geus dituduhkeun ku Yesus.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful.
Tepung jeung anjeunna maranehna teras munjungan. Tapi sawareh mah ham-ham.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
Yesus teras nyaketan ka maranehna bari ngalahir, sakabeh kawasa di sawarga jeung di bumi geus dipasrahkeun ka kami.
"Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit."
Sabab eta maraneh kudu iang kabeh bangsa kudu dijadikeun murid kami serta kudu dibaptis kalawan panjenengan Rama Putra jeung Roh Suci.
"And then teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Jeung kudu diurukan sinangalampakeun sakarupa hal nu kami geus diparintahkeun ka maraneh maneh sing yakin yen kami terus ngarajengan ka maraneh sapanjang netepi ka akhir zaman.
Now this passage of scripture is known as the Great Commission.
Bagian eta dikenal amanat agung.
Every church leader is very familiar with this passage.
Tiap pemimpin gereja biasa sareng bagian ieu.
But there are some very important things that Jesus is saying here that gives us a picture for all of our futures.
Nanging aya sababaraha hal anu penting dicaraskeun Yesus nu masihan hiji gambaran ka urang kanggo zaman anu bade dongkap.
First of all, remember he is speaking to his chosen disciples.
Awitan imut anjeunna nyarios ka murid-muridna anu dipinilih.
After baptized in, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, they began the process of being full apostles or those sent by Christ himself.
Parantos maranehna dibaptis ku Roh Suci nyarios dina bahasa lidah ngawitan proses janten rasul sapinuhna diutus ku Kristus.
His statement was to go into all nations.
Sauranjeunna iang ka sagala bangsa.
It wasn't to just stay in Jerusalem.
Artinya sanes ngan cicing di Yerusalem.
In fact, we'll see how in some ways the apostles missed their primary calling. We'll see that a little bit later in the teaching.
Rasna urang baris ningali para rasul leungiteun panyar utami, urang bari ningal sakedap deui.
Now notice he didn't say go and make converts alone.
Perhatikan, anjeunna teu nyarios supados angkat sareng nobatkeun jami wungkul.
But his focus was to make disciples.
Yang fokus dan ajatan kan murid.
And not just of your own cultural group.
Tanda dengan kelompok budaya orang.
No, but the focus was to make disciples in every nation with every people group.
Yang fokusnya eta ngamuridkeun sagala bangsa sareng setiap kelompok jalmi.
Baptism was a part of their ministry.
Baptisannya eta bagian ti pelayanan maranehna.
That helped them to identify fully with Christ, his death and resurrection.
Eta nulungan maranehna ngenalkeun pupusna sareng gugahna Kristus secara pinuh.
But then it says, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you.
Lajeng diceroskeun urukan maraneh ngalakukeun sakala anu parantos diperintahkeun ka aranjeunna.
Now Jesus commanded many things of his disciples and he demonstrated for them a lifestyle that he intended for them to live.
Yesus marintahkeun saperkawis ti murid-muridna anjeunna ningalikeun gaya hirup anu dipikahoyong kanggo dilakukeun ka para murid.
That was a lifestyle of full and complete dedication to the Lord.
Gaya hirup anu berdedikasi secara penuh sareng lengkap ka Gusti.
And their focus of ministry, as was Jesus's, was to teach, to train, and to raise up men and women of God for effective service in the kingdom of God.
Fokus pelayanan maranehna sami sareng Yesus nyaeta ngawulang, ngalatih sareng ngagugahkeun pamengket sareng istri kangge ngalayanan efektif dina kerajaan Allah.
Well, it's important to look at what happened after the great commission was given.
Ya penting kangge ningali naon anu kajantenan saparantos amanat agung.
In the book of Acts, the first chapter,
dina carisan pada laman rasul-rasul pasal hiji,
beginning with the sixth verse,
ngawitan ayat kagenep,
Acts chapter 1, verse 6,
carisan pada laman rasul-rasul pasal hiji ayat kagenep,
and so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?
Bok nungkarumpul ten tumaras ka anjeunna. Gusti, manawi ayeuna Gusti bade ngadegkeun deui kerajaan Israel teh?
He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority.
Alerna, mangsa jeung waktuna mah geus ditetepkeun pangersarama ku anjeun maraneh teu kudu nyaho.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth.
Dan di mana Roh Suci Tea geus lungsur nyarengan maraneh bakal menang kawasa sarta jadi saksi-saksi kami di Yerusalem, di sakulah Yudea jeung Samaria tuk nepi ka tungtung bumi.
Now again, Jesus is providing for us his mandate to his disciples.
Kali deui Yesus masihan mandatna ka para murid.
Now Jesus certainly understood it would take power to see the commission of God fulfilled.
Yesus tangtu terang yang diperyogikeun kawasa kangge ningali amanah agung Allah diteduna.
But the commission given was to take the gospel of the kingdom not just to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but literally it means to all of those places at the same time.
Angin amanah agung dipastikan kangge nyandak Injil kerajaan sanes ngan ka Yerusalem, Judea, Samaria wungkul nanging secara harafiah kasadaya tempat di mana waktu anu sami.
Now most of us have read and know very well what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Bagian ageng urang parantos ngaos sareng terang naon anu kajantenan dinten Pentakosta.
What an exciting day that must have been.
Leres, hiji dinten anu narik.
Jesus had promised.
Yesus parantos janji.
I'm going to give you power.
Mereka maraneh kawasa.
I want you to wait in the upper room.
Tungguan di rohangan luhur.
Until I pour my power out.
Jika kami mengucurkan kawasa kami.
So they receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in that upper room.
Dan maraneh nepi kapinuhan Roh Suci di rohangan luhur.
So all these wonderful men and women who had been trained by the Lord Jesus himself.
Saraya pamangkat sareng istri nu luar biasa nu parantos dilatih ku Gusti Yesus nyalira.
Came pouring out of that upper room.
Nampi kucuran ti rohang luhur eta.
They were glorifying God in languages that they didn't even know.
Marana ngamulyakan Gusti dina bahasa nu maranenan teu terang hartina.
People that were there were hungry. They were seekers of God. They were in the city at that time.
Jalmi nu araya dirinya lapar milari Gusti di lebet kota waktu harita.
And in the midst of all that,
di satengahing eta,
the apostle Peter stood up.
Rasul Petrus ngadeg.
And preached just a very simple message that led 3,000 people to Christ.
Mutbahkan pesan anu sederhana pisan nyandak 3,000 jalmi ka Kristus.
Now that is known as the birth of the church.
Eta dikenal salaku kelahiran gereja.
What a massive headache was caused on that day for the apostles.
Andeng nu luar biasa anu diciptakeun ku para rasul waktu harita.
You see, they had been 120 close friends that knew the Lord and lived a life together of great blessing.
Direk terang marana nyaeta 120 sobat karib anu kenal Gusti sareng hirup sasarengan dina berkat anu luar biasa.
On one day they were
120.
And on the next day they were 3,120.
Dinten injingna 3,120 jalmi.
Now they had no church building.
Maranehan teu gaduh gedong.
They had no Bibles to speak of.
Maranehan teu gaduh hal-hal nu nakjubkeun anu urang gaduh jaman ayeuna.
They didn't have any of the wonderful things that we have in our modern day.
Teu gaduh Alkitab kangge ngawulang.
But the one thing that they had was a mandate. And the mandate from the Lord was to teach and train God's people.
Mandat ti Gusti nyaeta kangge ngawulang sareng ngalatih umat Gusti.
And from that moment they began to do that very thing.
Ngawitan harita maranehna ngawitan ngalakukeunana.
There were powerful results.
Aya hasil nu kawasa pisan.
God did incredible things in the lives of those brand new converts.
Gusti ngalakukeun hal-hal anu nakjubkeun dina hirup patobat enggal.
The Bible indicates that every day they would meet together on Solomon's porch, which was a big place behind the temple in Jerusalem.
Kitab nganyatakeun yen setiap dinten maranehna bakal pendak di tepas Salomo. Anu mangrupikeun ruang ageng di satukangan bait Allah.
And while they were there, they would listen to the teaching of the apostles.
Entais maranehna aya di dinya baris ngadangukeun rasul-rasul ngawulang.
And what did the apostles teach?
Anu diajarkeun ku para rasul?
Everything that they had heard Jesus teach.
Sadaya anu parantos maranehna ngadangu pangajaran Yesus.
Because that's really all that they knew. They knew Jesus, they knew him intimately, they knew his commandments, and they wanted to share that with everyone that they knew.
Margi mung eta anu terang maranehna kenal Yesus secara deket, terang parentahna ngabagikeun ka sahabat anu dikenal.
Well, the church continued to grow.
Gereja teras tumubuh.
And after a while, problems begin to come into the church.
Parantos beberapa alami masalah ngawitan lebet ka gereja.
We can see that in Acts chapter 6.
Berarti asa ningali hal eta dina carios para rasul-rasul pasal 6.
In that chapter of the Bible,
dina pasal eta,
is where there were problems in the church regarding the distribution of food.
Aya masalah anu aya patalina sareng pambagian tuangan.
The problem was legitimate and needed to be addressed by the leadership of the day.
Masalah eta lepet akal, priyogi diperhatoskeun ku pamimpin waktu sarita.
And they did so by raising up 7 men of great reputation who became what is known as deacons.
Maranehna milih 7 jalmi anu gaduh reputasi luar biasa kangge janten naon anu dikenal janten diaken.
One of those deacons was a young man named
Stephen.
Stephen was a young man full of the Spirit of God.
Stephanus pamuda anu pinuh ku Roh Gusti.
He had been trained at the feet of the apostles.
Anjeunna dilatih secara langsung ku para rasul.
Every day he had gone to the back side of the temple to receive instruction by Peter and the rest of the apostles.
Kalinten anjeunna angkat ka pangkeureun bait Allah kangge nampi instruksi ti Petrus sareng rasul-rasul nu sanesna.
Every night they were going house to house, breaking bread, fellowshipping, enjoying the life of God together.
Galawangi marana baris ngalongok imah ka imah, nyuel roti bersekutu nganikmatan kehidupan di lepet Gusti sasarengan.
See, Stephen was an exceptional young man.
Ningali Stefanus nya eta pamuda anu istimewa.
He had a very powerful word in his mouth.
Cariosan anu ngandung kawasa dina lambena.
One day he was out preaching the word.
Dicirinten anjeunna kaluar ngadugikeun dawuhan Gusti.
And he was apprehended by the spiritual leaders of the day.
Anjeunna ditewa ku para pamimpin agama waktu sarita.
He was falsely accused, imprisoned, and eventually was martyred for the sake of Christ.
Anjeunna difitnah, dipanjara karena dihukum mati demi Kristus.
And in Acts chapter 8,
Ina carios pada man rasul-rasul pasal 8,
there's a very revealing passage of scripture for us in the first and the second verse.
Ayat bagian ayat anu nyata pisan kangge urang dina ayat 1 sareng 2.
That's chapter 8 of the book of Acts verses 1 and 2.
Carios pada man rasul-rasul pasal 8 ayat 1 sareng 2.
And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, great persecution rose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles.
Hari Saulus dinahatena pohara panujuna satepanus dipaihan. Disemat harita jamaah di Yerusalem teh nandangan panganiaan anu pohara hebatna anggota-anggotana iwalti rasul-rasul pabalencar ka wilayah Judea jeung Samaria.
And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him.
Ayan Stefanus dipulasara ku anu saroleh kalawan hate anu pohara nalangsana.
A tremendous crisis hit the church.
Krisis ageung pisan ngalanda gereja.
See, up until this time they were having great favor.
Dugi ka ayeuna marehna nganikmati kasenangan luar biasa.
As church leaders, be careful when you get a little too much favor.
Laku pemimpin gereja hati-hati waktu kenging kasenangan anu langkung.
Because sometimes persecution is right around the corner.
Umargi aniaya nuju ngantosan.
The apostles had been teaching and training in Jerusalem for some time.
Para rasul parantos ngawulang sareng ngalatih di Yerusalem kangge sababaraha waktos.
It is estimated that the church was now about 30,000 people in Jerusalem.
Kitan-kitan ayeuna gereja jumlahna 30,000 jalmi di Yerusalem.
And then this persecution arose.
Rajana penganiayaan muncul.
And the Bible indicates that the church was scattered all over the land.
Alkitab nunjukkan yang gereja paburancai ka unggal daerah.
The church in Jerusalem had to go underground.
Gereja di Yerusalem parantos mapas secara susulumputan.
And believers went to every known city of that day.
Jalmi percaya angkat ka unggal kota anu dikenal waktu sarita.
One of the cities they went to was the city of Antioch.
Kota anu marehna dongkapan nyaeta kota Antioquia.
Let's look at the 11th chapter of the book of Acts.
Angga tingali pasal 11 dina cariosan para rasul-rasul.
Acts chapter 11.
Angga tingali ayat 18 sampai 30.
And we're going to look at verses 19 through 30.
Cariosan para rasul-rasul 11 ayat 18 juga 30.
Acts chapter 11 verses 19 through 30.
Darius pada malam rasul-rasul pasal 11 ayat 18 juga 30.
And it says, so then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone.
Eska catur ti barang dipaihan para panganuteh dikania nepi ka paberencah ka mana mendi aya di nepi ka Phoenicia jeung Antioquia. Dirituna marena tetep ngawawarkeun Injil sanajan ngan kapapada urang Yahudi deui oge.
But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus.
Di antara nu Arabus ka Antioquia aya urang Siprus jeung urang Kirene sawatara urang, ieu mah ngabarkeun Injil teh ditujukeun ka urang Yunani, kumarena diterangkeun Yesus teh Gusti.
And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord.
Lantaran kabiruyungan ku pang hayekna panangan Gusti loba pisan jelema anu jadi percaya serta aranut ka anjeunna.
And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch.
Jika bejakan oge ka jamaah di Yerusalem anu teras ngirimkeun Barnabas ka Antioquia.
Then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord.
Parna pas katida bungahanana saangges ningali bukti buah-buahna rahmat ti pangeran didinya, anjeunna ngalasehatan supaya marenna tetep tuhu ka Gusti.
For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord.
Anu hade budi turka dedel kuroh suci jengku iman loba jelma anu katarik nepi ka percaya ka Gusti.
Let's stop there with the reading. We'll get to the rest of it in just a moment. See, the persecution had sent people everywhere. Most of the believers went to other Jews to minister the word of God. That was the tradition and the culture of that day. But there were some that were so full of the zeal of God that they began to minister to people outside of the Jewish culture. And God began to move in great power. The Bible indicates that many people came into the kingdom of God through their ministry. Now you might ask yourself, who were these people? Well, there were people who could speak the Greek language. But they had been trained also at the feet of the apostles in Jerusalem. So they began to minister the word of God, and God gave them great favor.
Dan marana ngawitan ngembarkeun dawuhan Gusti sareng kamanah ku Gusti.
So great was the revival in Antioch that the church in Jerusalem heard about it.
Kajantan kapungan rohani anu luar biasa di Antioquia di mana gereja di Yerusalem ngadang wartos eta.
And so the apostles decided to send a young man named Barnabas to check everything out.
Dan para rasul mutuskeun kanggo ngutus saurang pamuda namina Barnabas kangge ningali kaayaan.
Now Barnabas was an encourager.
Barnabasnya eta jalmi anu masian sumanget.
But there's no indication that he had any specific role or title in the church in Jerusalem.
Aing teu aya indikasi yen anjeunna gaduh paranan khusus atanapi jabatan dina gereja di Yerusalem.
He was a man full of zeal, full of the Holy Spirit.
Anjeunna teh jalmi anu pinuh sumanget, pinuh ku Roh Suci.
Who had obviously proved himself to be faithful in the church in Jerusalem. He was trustworthy.
Anu jelas parantos ngabuktikeun dirina satia ka gereja Yerusalem sareng tiasa dipercaya.
But also Barnabas had a lot of wisdom.
Anu oge gaduh seueur kawicaksanaan.
You see, when he came to the church in Antioch,
atos anjeunna dongkap ka gereja di Antioquia,
he didn't see the same thing as he saw in Jerusalem.
Anjeunna teu ningal hal anu sami nu aya di Yerusalem.
You see, in Jerusalem, they would have had their prayer shawls and all of their wonderful Jewish clothing to wear as a part of their worship.
Yerusalem maranena gaduh karembong sareng sadaya cara anggean Yahudi jantan bagian ti penyembahan maranena.
But Antioch was more of a Greek city.
Nanging Antioquia langkung ti hiji kota Yunani.
And the Greeks were much more emotional.
Sareng Yunani langkung emosional.
They liked to dance and they loved to sing.
Maranena resep ngibing sareng ngawi.
Very different than a nice, conservative, quiet, respectful Jew.
Benten sareng urang Yahudi anu sae tenang sareng hormat.
So Barnabas took a look at all of this.
Benten Barnabas ningali sadayana ieu.
But he recognized that in spite of the difference in their style,
nanging anjeunna sadar sanos aya perbentenan dina gaya maranehna,
they had been genuinely touched by God.
Maranehna leres-leres dijamah ku Gusti.
And the favor of God was in their life.
Gusti aya dina hirup maranehna.
And he understood he had a job to do.
Anjeunna terang gaduh pancen anu kedah dipidamel.
Now let's look back at the scriptures.
Ayeuna urang tingali deui Alkitab.
Starting again with the 25th verse.
Awitan ayat 25.
And he says, and he left for Tarsus to look for
Saul.
Dan
dia bernapas teras ke Tarsus, nepangan Saulus, anu teras diajak ke Antioquia.
And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
Dua nana marukim di jemaah, didinya menang setahun campleng bari ngawurukan kajal Maria. Murid-murid panganut Kristen teh ayah di Antioquia pisan disarebut orang Kristen.
Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch.
Kajaron yang kitu aya nabi-nabi di Yerusalem ngadago ka Antioquia.
And one of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world, and this took place in the reign of Claudius.
Nu saurang ngaranna Agabus kasurupan ku roh nyebutkeun yen bakal aya paila hebat di sakuliah dunya, ramalanan teh bukti kajadianna zaman Prabu Claudius.
And in the portion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea.
Murid-murid baradami rek arudunan gedena kumaha mampuhna masing-masing bae sumbangkeun ka dulur-dulur nu marukimna di Judea.
And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders.
Arudunan bebenanganna dipasrahkeun ka pangurus jemaah di ditu. Dipihapikeun ka Barnabas jeung Saulus.
Now let's look at what was happening here in this dynamic church.
Urang tinggal naon anu kajantenan di dieu dina gereja dinamis.
Many non-Jews had been saved.
Jalmi sanes urang Yahudi parantos diselametkeun.
Barnabas came and saw God's grace.
Barnabas dongkap ningali sih kurnia Allah.
For approximately 1 year, Barnabas began to teach those disciples there in Antioch.
Kirang langkung sataun Barnabas ngawitan ngawurukan murid-murid di Antioquia.
He would have laid a very strong foundation for those believers.
Anjeuna parantos nyimpen dasar anu kiat kangge jalmi-jalmi percaya.
And what he would have taught would have been the same things that he learned from the apostles in Jerusalem.
Naon anu parantos diwurukeun sami sareng naon anu diajarkeun di para rasul di Yerusalem.
He would have taught about the foundations of the faith.
Anjeuna ngawurukan perkawis iman.
They would have learned more about the law and the prophets and the history of God's dealing with his people.
Maranehna parantos diajar seueur hukum para nabi sareng sajarah Gusti sareng umatna.
He taught them about the life of Christ.
Anjeuna ngawulang maranehna ngeunaan kahirupan Kristus.
All that Jesus did.
Sadaya anu dilakukeun Yesus.
And everything he said.
Sadaya anu dicarioskeunana.
And he would have taught it under a tremendous anointing.
Sareng anjeuna ngawulang dihandapeun urapan luar biasa.
Because that's what he was called to do.
Marga eta teh maksad panyaurna.
Yet at the same time.
Anjeuna dina waktu anu sami.
All during that year he never did report back to Jerusalem.
Sepanjang tahun eta anjeuna teu pernah laporan ka Yerusalem.
As I would imagine, if the apostles would have learned what it was like in Antioch, they might have wanted them to wear prayer shawls and do all those religious things that they did in Jerusalem.
Kumarga abdi bade ngabayangkeun umpami para rasul terang kumaha kaayaan di Antioquia panginten maranehna mikahoyong urang Antioquia uge ngangge karembong doa sareng ngalakukeun sadaya tata cara agama bae nu dijalankeun di Yerusalem.
The work continued to grow.
Padamelan eta teras tumuwuh.
In fact, it got so large that Barnabas couldn't keep up with all of the work.
Karena pada malan janten langkung ageng, dugi Barnabas tiasa nanganan saraya pada malan.
Now he had originally met Saul, the one who became Paul, in Jerusalem a long time before.
Anjeuna leres-leres tepang sareng Saulus nu janten Paulus di Yerusalem kapungkur.
He knew about his call to the nations.
Anjeuna terang ngeunaan panyaur ka bangsa-bangsa.
During this time, Saul was back in his hometown.
Sami waktu Saulus uih ka kampung halamanna.
I would guess he was spending his time making tents.
Pangintan andanya epkeun waktu kanggo ngadamel kemah.
He was waiting on the Lord.
Anjeuna ngantos-antos Gusti.
And even though he had received direct revelation from Jesus himself.
Sanaos anjeuna parantos nampi wahyu ti Yesus.
He was not yet an apostle.
Anjeuna teu acan janten rasul.
He was just waiting for the opportunity and for the promise of God to happen in his life.
Anjeuna ngantosan kesempatan sareng janji Gusti kajantenan dina hirupna.
Now when Saul came to Antioch,
waktu Saulus dongkap ke Antioquia,
the Bible indicates that he became a teacher with Barnabas.
Alkitab nunjukkan yang anjana janten guru sareng Barnabas.
But if you'll notice the order of the names, it is significant.
Angin umpami sederek merhatoskan susunan nami, ia penting pisan.
It was not Saul and Barnabas who were the teachers. It was Barnabas and Saul.
Karena Saulus sarang Barnabas anu ngawulang, nyaeta Barnabas sarang Saulus.
Because even Saul had to learn what church life was all about.
Marke Saulus oke kedah diajar kumaha kehidupan gereja.
Now the teaching there in the city of Antioch was so effective that even the world began to recognize the hand of God in their life.
Pengajaran di kota Antioquia langkung efektif dugi ka dunia oke ngawitan kenal sareng panangan Gusti dina hirup maranehna.
They were called little Christ.
Maranehna disebut Kristus alit.
Now let's take it another step farther.
Angga orang alengkah langkung tebih.
Saul and Barnabas were working together.
Saulus sareng Barnabas ngaramel sasarengan.
Barnabas the lead teacher, Saul the secondary teacher.
Barnabas ngawulang utami Saulus pandamping.
And it was in this church that Saul, later to become Paul, learned the model for the building of the local church.
Dina gereja ieu di mana Saulus diajar contoh ngawangun gereja lokal.
Let's look at the 13th chapter at the book of Acts.
Enggak tingali caras pada man rasul-rasul 13.
Acts chapter 13 verses 1 through 3.
Tarosan pada man rasul-rasul 13 ayat 1 dugi ka 3.
In the first verse it begins, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul.
Ayat hiji harita di jamaah Antioquia aya sawatara nabi jeung guru agama nyaeta Barnabas, Simon anu katelah Niger, Lucius orang Kirina, Saulus jeung Menahem anu tadina diurusan bareng jeung Raja Herodes.
And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Dina hiji poe waktu aranjeunna nekanan ibadah jeung puasa, Roh Suci nimbalan. Kami menta Barnabas jeung Saulus rek dibere tugas khusus anu ditangtukeun ku kami pribadi.
Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Paruasa jeung sarembahyang diteruskeun geus kitu anu duaan teh ditarumpangan leungeun diberkahan tuluy dijurung laku.
Now let's see what happened here in this church in Antioch.
Tingali naon anu kajantenan di dieu dina gereja Antioquia.
Now notice it said there were teachers there in that church.
Naon anu dicarioskeun aya ngawulang dina gereja eta.
It also says there were prophets there.
Dicarioskeun aya nabi di dinya.
Now where did they come from?
Maranehna asalna?
There's only one indication that there was a prophet that one time came from Jerusalem.
Anaya hiji pituduh yen di dinya aya saurang nabi anu datang ti Yerusalem.
These teachers and prophets, and I would assume deacons and elders, all came from within that local church.
Para nabi, guru, diaken, sareng penetua sadayana ti gereja lokal.
Through the teaching and preaching of the word, under the tutelage of Barnabas and Saul, the believers were brought to maturity and eventually into actual offices within the church.
Melangungan pangajaran sareng ngadukikeun dawuhan Gusti dina pengawasan Barnabas sareng Saulus, maranehna janten dewasa akhirna mangku jabatan saleresna dina gereja.
That is one of the dynamics of teaching within God's chosen laboratory, the local church.
Kita salah sahiji dinamika pengajaran dina laboratorium pilihan Gusti di gereja lokal.
They were having a prayer meeting. They'd been fasting and waiting on the Lord.
Maranehna puasa jeung ngantosan Gusti.
The Holy Spirit speaks to them.
Roh Suci nyarios ka maranehna.
Now we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to them.
Bayang keterang kumaha Roh Suci nyarios ka maranehna.
But there's more than one that heard this message from the Lord.
Angin langkung ti hiji anu ngadangu pesen ti Gusti.
Now if I were the senior pastor of this church,
umpami abdi nu jantan gembala senior di gereja eta,
I wouldn't have liked what the Holy Spirit said.
Abdi panginten moal resep naon anu dicaroskeun ku Roh Suci.
You see, Saul and Barnabas, they were the very best within that church.
Derek terang Saul sareng Barnabas nyata pangsaena dina gereja eta.
They were dynamic preachers and teachers and moved in signs and wonders.
Maranehna teh pengkhotbah sareng guru anu dinamis, ngadamel dina tanda-tanda ajaib sareng mukjizat.
If I were the church leader in Antioch, I would have wanted to hold on to them.
Mbak abdi pamimpin di Antioquia tentu badai mertahankan maranehna angkat.
But the Holy Spirit said, set aside for me the very best.
Nang Roh Suci-Nya Dios khususkan Barnabas sareng Saulus kangge kami.
But it also indicates that in this local church, in this city of Antioch,
oke nunjukkan yang di gereja lokal di Antioquia ieu,
there were sufficient leaders that had been raised up to be able to carry on the work when Barnabas and Saul went off into their missionary ventures.
Aya pamimpin anu capetang anu parantos digugahkeun supados ngalajengkeun padamelan waktos Barnabas sareng Saulus angkat dina perjalanan misina.
Now let's look at what happened next.
Mangga urang tinggal naon kajantanan salajengna.
As I mentioned, the apostle Paul became the lead and Barnabas became the secondary minister.
Sapatos anu parantos disinggung, Rasul Paulus janten pamimpin, Barnabas janten pelayan pendamping.
Now this didn't happen until after they were sent out on their first missionary journey.
Ya, tegacan tenan saparantos diutus dina perjalanan misina anu ngawitan.
But the apostle Paul had learned this model of training within the local church from his time in Antioch.
Rasul Paulus parantos diajar model pelatihan dina gereja lokal di Antioquia.
Now in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we see the fullness of this picture.
Darius pada malam Rasul-Rasul 18 orang terang sadaya gambaran ieu.
Acts chapter 19.
Darius pada malam Rasul-Rasul 18.
And we'll start with the 7th verse.
Awitan ayat 7.
Acts chapter 19 verse 7.
Darius pada malam Rasul-Rasul 18 ayat 7.
And there were in all about 12 men.
Jumlah maranehna kurang leuwih 12 orang.
Now let me stop for just a moment.
Abdi eureun sakedap di dieu.
Paul had gone to the city of Ephesus.
Paulus parantos angkat ke Efesus.
God began to move.
Gusti ngawitan gerak.
People were being saved.
Jami disalametkeun.
And the Bible indicates that he began to teach.
Alkitab nunjukkeun yen Paulus ngawitan ngawulang.
Where he began to teach was in the synagogue.
Anjeunna ngawitan ngawulang di imah ibadah.
That was the normal place for a teacher or a rabbi to spend his time.
Eta teh tempat anu biasa kangge saurang guru atanapi rabi nyeepkeun waktuna.
There were at least 12 of them that gathered themselves around Paul.
Kirang langkung aya 12 jalmi anu ngurilingan Paulus.
Now let's continue with verse 8.
Panglajakan ayat 8.
And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God.
Menang 3 bulan Paulus ngaburup tempat-tempat ibadah di dinya, bari teu aya kasieun, hanya ikhtiar ngesannya ngayakinkeun urang di dinya kana kerajaan Allah.
But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus.
Sawatara urang anu teu tiasa diungget-ungget batan beunang diyakinkeun anggo ngagugureng jalan pangeran harepan umum, ku Paulus tuluy ditinggalkeun tapi nu geus jadi murid mah ku anjeunna dipisahkeun ti anu karitu anjeunna pindah ngawurukna ka gedong kuliah Tyrannus.
And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks.
Hal eta dilakukeun 2 tahun lamina dugi ka sadaya penduduk Asia ngadangu dawuhan Gusti urang Yahudi oke urang Yunani.
Let's take a look at this again.
Angga tingali deui.
The apostle Paul had come to this great city.
Rasul Paulus parantos dongkap ka kota ageung.
And began to plant a church there.
Awitan malah gereja di dinya.
Now he began in the synagogue because that's where he always began his ministry.
Di imah ibadah kumarki tempat sapertos eta anjeunna ngawitan pelayanan.
But many people began to become jealous of Paul's ministry.
Nanging saur jalmi anu ngawitan sirik kana pelayanan Paulus.
So Paul rented a school building.
Dan Paulus nyewa gedong sekolah.
He took his disciples with him.
Anjeunna nyandak murid-murid.
And the Bible indicates that for 2 full years he taught his disciples.
Alkitab nunjukkan yang salami 2 tahun pinuh anjeunna ngawulang para murid.
Where did he teach them?
Mana anjeunna ngawulang maranehna?
He taught them wherever he could gather them to.
Anjeunna ngawulang maranehna di mana bae maranehna ngarumpul.
What did he teach them? He taught them everything that Jesus had given him by direct revelation.
Naon anu diwulangkeun? Anjeunna ngawulang naon anu parantos diwahyukeun langsung ti Yesus.
And he taught them systematically.
Anjeunna ngawulang sacara sistematis.
He would have taught them the Old Testament scriptures.
Anjeunna ngawulang kitab suci perjanjian lami.
He taught them the life of Christ.
Anjeunna ngawulang kahirupan Kristus.
He taught about the great miracles.
Ngawulang ngeunaan mujizat anu aheng.
He taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Ngawulang perkais baptisan Roh Suci.
He taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Perkais karunia Roh Suci.
And as indicated by the many letters that Paul sent back to the churches.
Pertas anu ditunjukkan ku seueur serat anu dikintunkan ka Paulus ka gereja-gereja.
He taught both theology as well as areas of practical Christian living.
Anjeunna ngawulang teologi oge praktek di kahirupan saririnten.
Because though the apostle Paul was a powerhouse in God.
Kanos Paulus teh pembangkit listrik dina Gusti.
He understood that it was not enough just to win someone to Christ or even just to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Anjeunna ngartos yen ieu teu cekap kangge menangkan seorang ka Kristus atanapi ngan saukur ngabaptis marena ku Roh Suci.
But that every believer deserve to have the opportunity to be fully trained and equipped in the things of God.
Nanging unggal jalmi anu percaya pantes nginginkeun kasempatan supaya silatih sareng dilengkepan dina perkawis Gusti.
You see, God has given us such tremendous life through the Word of God.
Gusti parantos masihan ka urang kahirupan luar biasa ngalangkungan dauhan Gusti.
But we must learn what it says.
Urang kedah diajar naon anu dicarioskeun.
We must learn to understand all of its implications for our personal life.
Urang kedah diajar mahaman sadaya anu tersirat kanggo kahirupan urang.
And especially as church leaders.
Tamina salaku pamimpin gereja.
You know God's hand is on your life.
Saderek terang panangan Gusti aya dina hirup saderek.
You deserve, you need, it's vital for you to be trained in the things of God.
Saderek pantas meryogikeun hal anu penting kangge saderek dilatih dina perkawis Gusti.
You need to be trained in such a way that you can fulfill your destiny in God.
Saderek perlu dilatih ku cara di mana saderek tiasa minuhan rencana Gusti kangge saderek.
So Paul trained the disciples there in the city of Ephesus.
Dan Paulus ngalatih para murid di kota Efesus.
He took 2 years out of his traveling ministry to focus on those disciples in that city.
Anjeunna priyogi 2 tahun tina perjalanan pelayanan kanggo fokus ka para murid di kota eta.
Some would say, what a waste. He should have been traveling and going to every nation.
Jalmi badanya rios, leres-leres mubadir kedahna anjeunna nguriling kunjungan ka unggal bangsa.
But he understood the pattern.
Anjeunna paham perkawis ieu.
He understood the plan of God.
Anjeunna paham rencana Gusti.
When you see someone born again,
pangtos saderek ningali saurang dijurukeun deui,
they must be discipled to maturity.
Maranehna kedah dimuridkeun supaya sianten dewasa.
They need to be trained in the things of God.
Maranehna priyogi dilatih dina perkawis-perkawis Gusti.
And God's laboratory for that is the local church.
Laboratorium Gusti nya eta gereja lokal.
Let's see what happened through this method of church growth and development.
Angga tinggalin naon anu kacantenan ngalangungan metode pertumbuhan perkembangan gereja ieu.
Chapter 19 verse 11 says.
Pasal 18 ayat 11 nyeroskeu.
And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul.
Oke, Paulus ku Allah dianggo nganyatakeun mujizat-mujizatna anu luar biasa.
And again, verse 10 said, and this took place for 2 years so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks.
Itu bae satrasna menang 2 tahun nepi ka sakumna urang di Asia, kaembaran pangandika pangeran boh urang Yahudi boh urang Yunani.
Most of us leaders want to see a great move of God.
Sebagian ageng para pamimpin hoyong ningal Gusti anu luar biasa.
God's method.
Metode Gusti.
Is to train his people within the local church.
Nyaeta ngalatih umatna dina gereja lokal.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Sareng ngalangkungan kawasa Roh Suci.
God will begin to spread the gospel through those disciples all over the world.
Gusti pada ngawitan ngembarkan Injil ngalangkungan para murid di sakuliah dunia.
God's plan is get trained in the local church. God bless you.
Rencana Gusti nyaeta kenging pelatihan dina gereja lokal. Gusti ngaberkahan.